The Anton Savage Show on News Talk.
My name is Bond.
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 James Bond.
As you can see, I have no problem with female authority.
Where's your butler friend?
Oh, he blew a fuse.
Plenty of two.
There you go. That's all of them are Bond. And he's under threat, it seems. With us is Paul Lally, president of the James Bond Club of Ireland. So, Paul, what has happened, as I understand it, is Barbara Broccoli has flogged Bond to Amazon. This gives Amazon creative control, which is the first time that a Broccoli family member hasn't had it in since God was a boy. And that means they could do terrible things to James. Have I that right?
Good morning, Anton. Well, succinctly put, yes, that's true. But on the other side, you could say they could do wonderful things with James as well. We stand on a sort of a point of uncertainty right now. And I guess we don't know the specifics of what we do, of what's going to happen. But we do know that this is a massive change, the most significant change to happen to Bond in quite some time. As you say, the Broccoli family have run this business for decades. They've been almost like a, you know, family run corner shop almost in Hollywood, you know, pushing this massive franchise to commercial and recently also critical success. So it's a big change. What will Amazon bring? We don't know.
Now, my understanding, Paul, was at the heart of that was an absolute monopoly over what was done with Bond. If I have it right, the David Niven Casino Royale was the only exception to them dictating what Bond was to the public. This gives the risk that Amazon could say, well, we'll do a Bond origin story, we'll do a TV series, there'll be a cartoon, and that whatever reputation he has is totally traduced.
Yes, yeah, so one man's risk is another man's opportunity, right? So you're exactly right. You know, barring a few legal issues and things with Casino Royale and Thunderball, they have had total control over the series since its inception. And that has really yielded some incredibly good dividends. So, they, for example, casting. They've always done incredible casting. You know, even when Sean Connery was cast initially,
Lazenby.
There was a lot of pushback from the studio. Well, why Lazenby dropped? He dropped himself. He wasn't fired. And the man who pushed him to do that was a guy called Ronan O'Rahilly, an Irishman, the guy who started Radio Caroline in London. So that's another story for another day. Yeah. But, you know, for example, let's talk about Daniel Craig, for instance, cast 20 years ago this year, and the film was out in 2006. Now, at the time, he was not popular with the public or with the studios, and it was really Barbara Broccoli who championed him, who really pushed him. And, you know, they had already reinvented Bond for the 90s with the Pierce Brosnan era. They reinvented it again with the Craig era, and, you know, that drove it to unprecedented commercial success, also critical acclaim. The Skyfall, for example, took $1 billion at the box office. The subsequent ones weren't far behind. So would that bold choice have been made under an Amazon MGM scenario? We don't know. So this is, I think, what's kind of worrying fans. But on the other side, you know, we know now that the heads of MGM, Jennifer Salke and Mike Hopkins, very, very driven towards subscription models, which, you know, I'm speculating wildly here, but that leads me to assume they're going to be looking at recouping the money that they've paid for that, for the studio and to Sweet and Broccoli and Michael G. Wilson very, very quickly. So that immediately brings to the forefront of the mind the potential to expand the Bond universe. The opportunities there are obviously exciting, but the risk is that you get a diluted, and here's the dreaded C word that everyone hates, and especially Barbara Broccoli, content. So that's where we stand right now.
Now, as to the Bond universe, my understanding is they have always been slightly wary of expansion. If I have it right, wasn't there a suggestion in one of them recently that we would discover that James Bond wasn't a person, but was rather a nomenclature for 007, and therefore all of them had it at one point? And Sean Connery was going to do a cameo as a previous James Bond. Is that right?
There's a lot of questions in there, Anton. Okay, let's start with the first one. The whole 007 is just a number and anyone can inhabit a thing. That is a kind of a rumor that took flight on the internet, but there was never any real truth to that in the series. What people have struggled with in the series is this the same character that has continued on through the years? Because it's a bit of a stretch to imagine that, you know, Pierce Brosnan at 41 years of age in the mid-90s was the same guy who was in 1962 fighting Dr. No. So you have to just suspend your imagination a little bit and let that run. But in terms of Sean Connery's cameo, there was a suggestion in Skyfall that a character at the end of it, ultimately played by Albert Finney, would be played by Sean Connery. But the director, Sam Mendes, dismissed it, saying it would be far too jarring to have Connery showing up opposite Daniel Craig. So he went with Albert Finney in the end. But you're right, they have absolute control over they let the directors have free rein within the parameters of what they set, but in terms of casting, in terms of the way it was always a cinematic experience, right? They wanted it to be tentpole movies. They steered away from the ideas of going into TV series or other types of spin-off formats, but that is now that's gone now. It's an open season for that kind of thing, so we really don't know what to expect.
Paul, may I commend you? Never has a man so adeptly dealt with a compound question. Fair play.
Thanks.
You described the thing of one man's threat is another man's opportunity. If this is an opportunity, putting on your hat of president of the James Bond Club of Ireland, what's the thing you would like to see Amazon do most of all?
Well, I would like to avoid them. I would like them to avoid, just watering down the series. Now, I mean, the obviously comparisons here are the Star Trek, Star Wars, and the Marvel series that have generated so much content that, you know, some of it's good and some of it's maybe not so good. And, you know, somebody described it recently as, you know, it's like Christmas. I love Christmas. I'm sad when it's over, but do I want it again in January? No. So, you know, it's kind of swinging from one side where it's been taking years to get one film out to now potentially this, you know, you have sort of the floodgates opening. On the other side, that is a great unlock. The Bond world is full of rich detail. There are lots of characters. There's everything from the cars, the vehicles, the locations, the lifestyle, the wine, the drinks, the food, everything that can be delved into richly. You see, there's tons of books and videos and everything on that online. So there are also, that's even before you get to the characters, the spin-off characters like potentially Felix Leiter, his CIA counterpart, M, Moneypenny, all of those. So there's so much that they could delve into. Some people would look forward to that. Some people would not. I frankly think there is some really great opportunity in there. I'd love to see a Felix Leiter series, for example. Some people would disagree. Some people want to see a period Bond, you know, written or presented as though it were Fleming's, you know, written directly from Fleming in the 1950s. I'm not sure how that would work, but there is a huge opportunity there. We really have to hope that Jennifer Salke and Mike Hopkins, who are running MGM Amazon Studios, okay, continue the creative integrity side of it rather than just pushing for more subscription and going for the lowest common denominator.
Paul, lovely to talk to you. Paul Lally, president of the James Bond Club of Ireland.
The Anton Savage Show on News Talk.